I didn't know who was saying, welcome back to The Rush. It's Scott Reed and Reshmi Nair. I thought Reshmi Nair was going to say welcome back, and here it is, Scott Reed, and I guess I was supposed to say welcome back to The Rush. 4 o'clock here on Friday afternoon. We're taking you home, Toronto. Hope you're having a good drive. Hope you're enjoying a little teeny-weeny blanket of white. Hope you're enjoying the show as we whistle our way through a wide variety of fascinating topics. But there's nothing more fascinating than our pal, Richard Krause, TV and movie critic extraordinaire. He knows everything about television, film, music. And yes, he's also a judge.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Judge Krause, happy Friday. What is our first case?
Well, the first case is about an author named Susan Meechan. Unless you read romance novels, you probably don't know who she is. But she allegedly died by suicide in September 2020. And then she returned to Facebook last week to reveal that she wasn't actually dead. She just needed a break from social media. And she said, I debated on how to do this a million times, and I'm still not sure if it's right or not. And then she goes on to say, you know, listen, sorry, some people propagated the myth that I wasn't alive anymore. But hey, whatever. I'm in a good place and I'm ready to write again. So let the fun begin. And a post exposing the hoax has spread and people are not happy. The family raised money to throw a funeral for Susan Meechan. There were all sorts of things connected with her alleged death that were kind of unsavory. And now fans are unhappy. So the question that I have for you is, should Susan Meechan be banned from Facebook for lying about dying?
No, you shouldn't be banned from Facebook for lying about that. I mean, people being banned from social media is silly anyway. She could just pop up anywhere. I say no.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I hate the banning, ban this, ban that. But I will tell you this, and I mean this genuinely and very seriously. A very close friend of mine, his family was touched by suicide. It's not cool, right? It's not cool, like the grief and the harm and the damage done when a family is touched by suicide, to pose falsely as someone who's died by suicide and to permit that lie to persist. That is a serious, serious moral failing. Very serious. So I don't know if she should be banned from Facebook, but I wish her nothing but bad fortune from here on.
I come down on Scott's side on this one. This is nothing short of a betrayal to the author's fans, made even worse by her offhand "let the fun begin" comment, as if she hadn't just faked her own death. There is nothing flippant about suicide, and using it as a cheap publicity stunt is not only wrong, it's despicable. If Meechan needed to step away from public life, social media, and the bullies that can come along with that, she should have done just that, taking some time off and not gaslit her followers by raising money for a funeral that never took place. So many people have been affected by suicide on some level that her pseudocide is a slap in the face to anyone who's ever been touched by the real thing. And that is my verdict.
Sounds like a wise judgment. What's next on the docket there, Judge of ours?
Next up, Nike is paying tribute to Montreal and its culinary specialty with a new Dunk Low Montreal bagel shoe. The shoe is described to have carb lover colors garnished with sesame graphics, highlighted by a pinch of Montreal blue for an extra shout out to the city from the La Belle Provence. And it's got a Nike swoosh on the side as well. So my question to you is, why doesn't Toronto have its own sneaker?
Why doesn't Toronto have its own sneaker? I don't know. I don't even think that Montreal sneaker's that great. I mean, it's just sesame seeds. It just looks like someone was baking and they spilled sesame seeds on their shoes. I'm not a fan of it. It's not available on Nike's Canadian website. But now I'm trying to think of a Toronto shoe. I guess, I don't know, just be, what, you want Jamaican patties on it? Producer Ben Harrison saying Jamaican patties. I would say street meat. But I'm sure there's a shoe out there with a hot dog on it. Scott?
Well, the simple answer, and I'm sorry to tell you people this, since I'm here on Toronto Radio talking to people who live in Toronto, is Montreal remains 14 billion times cooler than the city of Toronto. It's got more style, more panache, more fashion, more just joie de vivre, if you will. I don't know if they deserve a shoe, but I don't think we do.
Well, I'm taking a different tact on this than either of you. Toronto doesn't have its own branded sneaker because I'm sure somewhere a city hall committee is still debating on how to best represent Toronto in footwear. LED lighted sneakers? Ooh, that could be a hazard at intersections. Quick, arrange a pilot project. Slip-on sneakers? Well, that could have safety issues. Consult with Dr. Eileen Davila. Athletic sneakers? How can we tax that? High tops? Too flashy for John Torrey. Do you see what I mean? If Toronto was to have its own brand of sneakers, the theme would have to be indecision. And that is my verdict.
We could call them the 67s.
We could. That's not bad.
What's our next case, Judge?
Next up, rap legend Dr. Dre is demanding that Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene stop using his music after the controversial representative used his hit Still Dre. I don't license my music to politicians, he says, especially someone as divisive and hateful as this one, Dre said in a statement. And it goes on. They went back and forth a little bit, but ultimately she's taken it all down from social media and says she won't use it again. My question for you, though, is can politicians use whatever music they want at rallies?
No. Well, Scott knows more than I do. But no.
They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be allowed to. I mean, this is the umpteenth example of this, right? Where, you know, some terrible politician, some awful person says, "Oh, I'm going to appropriate this song and associate myself with that kind of brand of cool." And the artist goes, "Hey, wait a minute! I wrote that song. That song, it comes from inside of me and expresses something about my worldview. And you're an ogre. You should have to get the permission of the artist first."
Here's my take. Of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene should have asked for permission before using one of Dr. Dre's songs. And as a member of Congress, she should also have a passing familiarity with the laws governing intellectual property. Besides that, there's all sorts of other songs she could have used, like The Fool on Capitol Hill by the Beatles, Burning Down the White House by Talking Heads, It's Not Easy Being Marjorie Taylor Greene from Kermit the Frog, and Whoops, I Made America Great Again by Britney Spears. Or maybe the obvious, Green Day's American Idiot. Leave Dre alone and make your own playlist, Marjorie. That's my verdict.
That's some strong judgment writing right there, counsel. Man, that's good stuff, Krause.
Do we have one more case?
No, we have no more cases. We can talk about Lisa Marie Presley a little bit, if you like.
Oh, have you interviewed her?
No, I've interviewed her daughter, Riley, but no, I haven't. I never got to meet Lisa Marie Presley, but I was just so shocked. You know, less than a week ago, she was celebrating her father's birthday at Graceland. She was at the Golden Globes on Tuesday night with Austin Butler, who won the Golden Globe for playing Elvis in the film. And so this came as a real shock to me. And I've been sort of going back and forth over this a little bit and looking online at Twitter to see what people were saying. And Sean Lennon came up with something really interesting. He said, you know, there's very few of us who understand what it's like to grow up in the shadow of a musical legend like this, who was taken far too soon. Elvis died when he was 42. John Lennon was in his 40s. And he said, you know, I felt for her on a very deep level and understood exactly what she was going through. And I think part of that is, you know, growing up in the shadow of one of the most famous last names of the 20th century and trying to make your light shine. She made a couple of really good records in the 2000s, worked with some interesting people, wrote some good songs. But because of that last name, I think that she was never taken seriously. And she often said that she had to smash people's preconceptions about her, and she said that was the hardest thing to do. So Lisa Marie Presley, famous since the minute she was born, passed away at age 54, and it's a real shame and kind of a shock.
Thank you, Richard. Richard Krause joining us live on The Rush.